Alright, good evening. Let's take a look at Psalm 122. Psalm 122, a Song of Degrees of David. And you will notice the first two Songs of Degrees were simply just Songs of Degrees. This is a Song of Degrees of David, so penned by him. Verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Verse 5, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray that you would help us to understand your word, especially in light of the New Testament. We thank you for your revelation, for your word. Not only have you given it to the people of old, but as you reveal more to us, we can understand the wonderful plans that you have for all peoples of the world and not just the nation of Israel. We pray that you would open our eyes not merely to understand the theology, but that we may apply these things practically to our own lives, that you would excite us, excite our hearts for the things of God and of the things of his church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I start this, you know, devotion, this Bible study by asking something completely cliche. And, well, what is that? As Christians, are we glad? Right? You hear that all the time. But I think it's an important question because if we are Christians, there ought to be a gladness in our hearts. We ought to be happy people, you know? And what is the reason for our happiness? Is it because we're recently attached? Is it because we've passed an exam? Is it because, you know, we had a full dinner? Or what is it that makes us glad? Is Christ the overwhelming reason for our gladness? And if we are glad and happy because of Christ, then what should our overwhelming burden be? Okay? Now, we all know that many things make us happy. You know, I don't mean to rob people's joy of having recently gotten together or passed an exam or had a good meal. You know, Christ did say, after all, you know, whoever loves father, mother, sister, brother, wife, child more than me is not worthy of me. He does not mean that we can't love those things. Right, so all of those things are legitimate, but do we love Christ more? All right. Now, if I had a thesis for tonight's Bible study from Psalm 122, it would be this. Christians are overwhelmed by Christ and what he has done. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't celebrate other things, but we are especially overwhelmed by what Christ has done, and our overwhelming burden, therefore, is the worship of God and the well-being of Christ's kingdom. By the way, what is the Westminster Shorter Catechism question 1, and what is the answer? What is the chief end of man, the most important goal, and what's the answer? Yeah, to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. You know, so it's not merely the glorifying of God that's the chief end, but it's also the enjoyment of God. So if we enjoy Christ, if we glorify Christ, what then is our greatest burden? It is the worship of God and the well-being of the church, well-being of the people of Christ's kingdom. So according to the psalm, right, if you're a Christian, you should be happy, right? And your chiefest desire is for Christ's kingdom. And there are two points I want to draw from this psalm tonight. Firstly, Christians who are overwhelmed by Christ worship him with other Christians. And secondly, Christians overwhelmed by Christ love other Christians and the church. Now, in Psalm 120, if you recall from 2 weeks ago, after singing about their struggle, their distance away from Jerusalem, you know, they were about to set off on their pilgrim journey, they realized, oh, I'm so sinful, woe is me, you know, I'm heading to the place of worship, I miss it so much. Then on their pilgrim journey, in Psalm 122, they're asking for safety. You remember that? Right? You remember, you know, I lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. And so where does the help of the psalmist come from? Is it the hills? No, right? From who? God, Jehovah. Now, why did he ask that, if you remember? Why was he complaining about the hills? What was wrong with the hills? What's that? Bandits. It was dangerous. So the pilgrim journey to Jerusalem was not an easy journey. That's why he asked for help. So now, after he has sung that, he is now in Jerusalem, or he can see it in the distance. Right? And the first point that we learn is that Christians who are overwhelmed by Christ worship him with other Christians. So as he nears Jerusalem, we learn here that he is happy, right? He says in verse 1, I was glad. You know, it was not, I was sad. Some people think, it's Sunday again, I got to go to church, I'm sad. No, he was glad, right? When they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we see here he loves to worship God. He is glad because the house of God is the place that he wants to go, and he is glad that other people are saying to him, let us go. All right? So two things give him great joy, to worship in the house of the Lord and to worship corporately with other Christians. You know, he would go to the temple to praise, to sing. All right? He would go to the temple also to perform sacrifice, which is what happens primarily at the temple. You know, finally he gets to Jerusalem. All of these very, you know, many months he had been away. He hasn't been able to worship. You know, he's been struggling with his sins, with his trouble. Now that he goes to Jerusalem, he can make atonement for his sin. He is glad, right? He is glad because finally his struggles can be lifted, his burdens can be lifted, his sins can be lifted. So he understands the significance of the temple. That's why he was glad. He wants to worship. And that's why in verse 2, right, we learn that he can't wait for his feet to be standing in Jerusalem. And what is that? Is it outside the gates? What does it say in verse 2? Within. He wants to be in Jerusalem. He can't wait for that to happen, right? Because he can be forgiven. That's why he was glad. Now, obviously, we as Christians, we don't read the psalm the same way. You know, sure, some of us have been to Jerusalem. It looks pretty. Food is good. Weather is really nice. But are we very happy to be in Jerusalem because that's the holy place? By the way, is Israel the holy land? Well, technically not, right? There's no place that's holy anymore, right? There's no holy land per se. That's why I prefer to call it the Bible lands, right? It's, you know, there's no place on earth which is holy. We don't yearn for Jerusalem, but we read this psalm in New Testament eyes. We don't look forward to seeing a temple. We don't look forward to the rebuilding of the temple. The reason is simple, because Christ is the fulfillment of the temple. All right, Jesus is a sacrifice. He is the light of the world, so you don't need the lampstand anymore. All right, he is the bread of life. You don't need the table of showbread. You know, he is our great high priest. You don't need the altar of incense. You don't need the temple furnishings and the temple treasures anymore. We don't need the physical temple because we have Christ. But the application does not change. Are we glad as Christians to worship Christ? Is it something we look forward to? Now, all of you obviously can say, sure, Mark, it's easy for you to say you live right there, but if church is at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, be glad to be at church at 9 or 10. I'd be sad. But is there that anticipation, right, for the move to the morning service? Right? So the application does not change. There is a gladness to be, you know, in the house of the Lord with God's people to worship God. In that one sense, that's what we live for, right? What does every Sabbath day remind us of? We keep it every Sunday because it reminds us of that eternal Sabbath. You know, our life does not comprise of things on this earth. We're heading to that eternal Sabbath. And so as we look forward every Sunday, as we move on, grow older and in age, we look forward to that time when we'll be at complete rest and worshiping all the time. Now, that's the uses of the Lord's Day, right? So it should be our joy also, you know, to look forward to corporate worship, okay? And we learn here in verse 1, let us go. It's in the plural. It's not, you know, let me go and forget about everyone else. So it's in the plural. It's a call for God's corporate people to gather themselves for worship. Now remember, God does not save us merely to remain as individuals, right? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save who from their sins? His people, not one person, two people, but his corporate people. Ye shall be called a holy nation, a royal priesthood. It's not about individuals, but it's corporately. You know, 1 John 2:2 tells us that he's not the propitiation for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world, right? Without distinction. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, even Abraham, right? Abraham, many nations, or all nations, the nations of the world shall be blessed by your seed, right? So it's all corporate here. And really, folks, the sign, the sign of God's work in your hearts as a Christian is evident in your desire to worship, your desire to be with God's people. Okay, so Christians are overwhelmed by Christ and what he has done. And their overwhelming burden is the worship of God and the well-being of Christ's kingdom. That's a thesis, right? Now, the second point here, Christians overwhelmed by Christ love other Christians and the church. He doesn't only desire to worship Christ with Christians, but his burden is to love Christians. His burden is for the well-being of the church. Now, verse 1, the psalmist's gladness is stirred not only because he's going to God's house, but he is going to God's house corporately with others. You know, there was once, someone who said to his wife, I really don't want to go to church. People don't like me. I sit there, you know, people don't talk to me. You know, I serve all that I can and give my heart to the people, but they don't respond to me. I just want to sit at home and not go to church anymore. And the wife turns to him and he says, well, dear, you really have to go to church. You're the pastor. Right? You know, but it's the same with many of us, right? When you bring sinners and sinners together, what happens? Problems, right? Church is the most problematic place there is. You agree, right? Oh, yeah, right? But that's where we are sanctified. That's where iron sharpens iron. They become smoother. Of course, in the process, there are a lot of sparks. But we go to the house of God because we love Christians. Let us go. I was glad. Now, one of the songs of degrees that we will consider in a few weeks' time is Psalm 133. That speaks about Christian unity. That psalm is very well known, yeah? All right. Now, why did they sing that? Now, what was the last song of degrees, you remember? It was from 122? 134. All right. So short of that is 133. That was towards the end. Why did they have to sing that psalm? Can you imagine spending 1 week together, Jerusalem all packed, the feast days, rubbing shoulders with everyone else, shoving one another, right? You're bound to be really pissed off at the other Christian or at the other worshiper, right? But that unity is important, right? Verse 1, once again, says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And obviously, 10 psalms later, they have to remind themselves to remain united. Okay? Now, the person said this because he did feel, right, glad. He was happy to be with God's people. Now, if he hated God's people, it would be a bore. It would be a chore for him. God's people love God's people, right? And that's what 1 John also tells us, right? You know you are born again if you have love for the brethren, right? Now, verses 3 and 4, if you take a look at verses 3 and 4, it says, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Now, folks, when it comes to Bible interpretation, Jerusalem sometimes means Jerusalem. Jerusalem can sometimes mean the church. Israel can sometimes refer to Israel itself, but Israel can also refer to the church. And here, we need to look through New Testament eyes to understand what it means. Okay? Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Okay? Now, we learn that it is a city that is compact together. It is united. All the tribes, all the people of God will go there. Now, I want to show here this definition of Jerusalem to the Christian is the church. Now, Martin Luther said, our Jerusalem is the church and our temple is Christ. Wherever Christ is preached and the sacraments are rightly administered, right there we are sure God dwells, and there our temple, our tabernacle, our cherubim, and our mercy seat, for there God is present with us by his word. Now, this was Martin Luther's interpretation of this. Now, where verse 3 says Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, we see in Ephesians 4:16 the same word. But in Ephesians 4:16, who is it talking about? It's talking about the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So the way we look at this psalm, right, from New Testament eyes, we see that it is referring to the church. And, verse 4 is it? Right? It says, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Now, what does this refer to? Who is it referring to? Who are the tribes of the Lord? Is it Levi, Judah, Naphtali, Gad, Dan? Is that who it's referring to? And the answer we see from New Testament eyes is in Revelation 21, 9-10 and 12. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now who's the Lamb? Christ. Who's his bride? The church, right? And so he says, I will show, right? Then he carried me away in the spirit to a high and great mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem. So in one sense, the Holy Jerusalem is the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb's wife? The church. What is the Holy Jerusalem? The church, right? Descending out of heaven from God. And of course, this city had a wall, great and high, and at 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. In other words, it talks about all comprehensive, all the people of God. Right? The whole people of God. So, when we as Christians look at this psalm, we are to be glad for the church, for all of God's people. The Christian loves Christian people, right? We are to love Christians, the church, right? Christians pray for the well-being of the church. We see here in verses 6 to 8, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Hope you don't take it literally that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That city is a dangerous city. Right? It's got a lot of problems. Yeah, we pray for the peace of God's people, the peace of the world. Right? I don't believe that this means we literally pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right? But we pray for the church. So what as a Christian are you happy and glad about? What is your overwhelming burden for? The thesis again. Christians are overwhelmed by Christ and what he has done. Their overwhelming burden is the worship of God and the well-being of Christ's kingdom. All right? So in that one sense, we're all on a pilgrim journey as well. We're all going to heaven, right? We're all going to heaven together. And what ought to be the greatest burden on our heart? Yes, our family is important. Marriage is important. Study is important. Leisure is important. All that. But the overwhelming burden is for the kingdom of Christ, for the church. That's what it is. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this psalm, which reminds us yet again of the right pursuit, the right priority we ought to have. And very frequently, as we sojourn through this world, we get distracted. There's so many things that distract us. But our lives here are only 70 years or 80 by strength, but yet is it labor? We just pray that you would spur us on to consider the important things in life. And if we are headed, O Lord, to that heavenly Jerusalem, that our chief